Jeannie Patel Thompson, international best-selling author, health product formulator, horse listener, earth singer, mother, medicine woman, elephant acolyte, and regenerative farmer. This is the Jeannie Podcast.
Okay, Jeannie Patel Thompson, this is a different podcast because I have my lovely husband, Ian Thompson.
Yes.
And the reason we're doing this together is because we have a mutual friend of ours. We're going to call her Kathy. And Kathy came to me and she said, I'm $70,000 in debt on payroll taxes and sales tax. In Canada, that's called GST. I don't know what to do. Should I declare bankruptcy? She was just all muddled. And so I said to her, my first thing I said to her is, you need to talk to Ian because he knows way more about the Canada Revenue Agency, CRA, and taxes than I do. He handles all of that for all of our businesses. He's also super creative with money. And I said, my only advice to you is when you're talking to CRA or any kind of governmental thing, I do something called dumb girl. And dumb girl is just where you put yourself in this very sweet, zero ego, oh my God, I had no idea. What am I gonna do? Position when you talk to them. And then they feel sorry for you. And like I had a company where I had limited partnerships set up for investors. And I had no idea that each of those limited partnerships had to file separately. So I got a notice from CRA saying I owed $300 a day penalty for being late for each partnership. I was like, there's no way I can afford this. This is going to destroy the company. So I just called them up and I played dumb girl. And the woman on the other end, she's like, you know what? Don't worry about this. I can take care of it. Can you get it paid by whatever day? And I'll take the penalties. And I was like, thank you so much. Because if you are sweet and kind and you have no ego and you're not trying to pretend that you know stuff and you're not, and you're like, which I call dumb girl, there's probably a better word for it. But if you take that energy, then CRA, the bureaucracy, the police officer, etc., is more inclined to help you. But that's not going to help her in this situation because she did not pay her payroll taxes or her GST for a few years. This is not something you could say, oh, I just screwed that up. So I told her to go and talk to Ian. And Ian, you had a great idea because, and so the reason we're doing this call is this is not about a how-to with money and taxes. This is about a mindset shift. And she needs to evolve. She needs to go to the next level for the way she views and plays and dances with money. And so that's what Ian is an absolute master at. His money game is just off the charts. So, you know, most of us can't do what he does, but we can take his principles and we can expand our mind, expand our field of possibilities. So Ian, what did you tell Kathy when she spoke to you?
I told Kathy, by the way, you can't play dumb girl if you're man. You can play dumb man though. And dumb man is pretty good to do as well. Okay. And it's all about the relationship with the person you're talking to, but we can come to that a bit later. Okay, so I didn't know much about Kathy's case. So I got on the phone to her. So I just asked her to give me a little description of what's going on. And she's 23 years old. So she's quite young. She's entrepreneurial. She's already got a couple of houses or flat and a house. So she's doing really well. So that's the first thing I said.
She's 25 now, just so you know. She's 25.
All right. But that's amazing. She's got her own business. Yeah. She's got two houses, a flat and a house. So I first of all said, you're doing really, really well. So let's just get that. Let's just set that out. You got your own business. You got a bit of income coming in. All right. You've made a boo-boo because, you know, my first comment to her is whatever you do, the CRA, government, tax, GST, PST, salary, whatever, is your number one supplier. Okay. In theory, you pay them first before you because you do not want to get them on your bad side. All right. And I said, What's scary for me is that they don't teach this at schools or whatever, because the government is very happy to have you go into debt with them, penalties and interest. And I explained this all to her, right? And I said to her, in the 30 years that I've been in Canada, since 1995 when I moved here, the 30 years, I have never missed one GST payment and I've never missed one payroll payment, because from day one, I need to be on their side and I need to not have them sniffing around my business, sniff around my personal stuff. Because the last thing you want as an entrepreneur or in personal is an audit. Because let me tell you, it's a pain in the a. We've had two or three small minor GST audits. And I told her this. I said, look, and sometimes they'll do that. And they can tie up your money for 3 months. There was one stage I told her that we had a GST. They ju were just reconciling some of the GST funds, and we're always on time. And they held up $40,000 of our cash flow for 3 months, and I had to go and find it elsewhere. All right, without giving me interest, when to the penny our return was on spec. So that's what you're dealing with. You're not dealing with a supplier and all this stuff. It's non-negotiable with the government. That's the bottom line, and that's what I was telling. I said, you know, so I said the first thing you need to do is get this debt paid off. Period. All right. So you've got to find creative ways to be able to do this. I didn't know anything about her financial situation. I didn't know whether she had any savings. But my first point to her was, I said, look, you've got a property, which I don't know how much your equity is. I don't know what the value is. And she rents it out. And I said, the first thing you can do is go to that. You go to the mortgage broker, you go to the bank, and you look to try and get a secured loan or line of credit, or what they call in the industry in Canada, it's called a HELOC, which is a really good financial instrument, especially if you have a secured property of worth $500,000.
Yeah, so what a HELOC is, it's a home equity line of credit. So you're getting a line of credit, but it's secured against the equity in your home.
So I said, your first port of call is to make a phone call to the mortgage broker. And she also banked with one of the big banking institutions in Canada as well. And I said, you make a phone call to those guys as well, even if you don't have the mortgage with them. Because you can also try, and I said to her, you can also try and get an unsecured line of credit. But because she's 25, I kind of said, it's very unlikely you're going to be able to do that because you don't have a lot of track record. And I said, look, over the 30 years I've been playing with banks and money, I can now get a 200,000, 300,000 unsecured line very easily because of how I played the money game with the banks, relationships, and all this type of stuff. Because it, as Jeannie quite rightly said, for me, and I you know, what I said to Kathy, Tracy, Stephanie, is money is a dancing, energetic game, period. And you can suck money in through your business and let it circulate, right? And I said, you have to learn now. This is a brilliant lesson you've got here, an amazing lesson at 25 years old, to have all these assets and then have this freaking debt sitting going, okay, how are you going to deal with this, Kathy? And I said to her, I said, don't feel that you've made a bad mistake. Because if you're an entrepreneur, you will always, to a certain degree, be in debt. Because there's things as good debt and there's things as bad debt. All right. And I know Kathy fairly well, and I know she doesn't do bad debt. And bad debt is things like really fast cars when you can't afford them, going out all the time, clothes, fancy stuff, alcohol, travel first class, when it's all the stuff that you can't really afford, and you load up on your credit cards and you go, oh, I'll pay that later, right? And actually, you know what? And I said to her, I said, you know, the younger generation really do not know how to handle money very well, especially in this day and age of high inflation and high expenses and all this stuff. All right. So I you know, when we first started talking, I was trying to empower her and say, you've not done a bad thing. This is a huge opportunity for growth and learning. And it's now your, if you want to grow your business or get into more entrepreneurial businesses, this is a great lesson for you to start the process of dancing with the dollars.
So why did you
And
recommend she get a HELOC or try to work with some kind of loan vehicle rather than just declaring bankruptcy and starting again?
well, to be honest with you, in my first phone call, we didn't actually talk about bankruptcy, because if she'd have mentioned that to me, I would have gone like that. Because I only learned about the bankruptcy bit a bit later, because she left the voicemail yesterday, actually. And my first response was like, pulling my hair out. Well, yeah, pulling my hair out, going, no. And Jeannie and I have had discussions about bankruptcy. You know, Jeannie is of the mindset, because she's been an entrepreneur since she was 19, that most entrepreneurs go bankrupt 3.2 times, right? And my principle on bankruptcy is no. Entrepreneurs don't have to go bankrupt. You play with money. Money's a game, all right? And bankruptcy for me is a way out, but there's a karmic contract with money that if you go bankrupt, you will pay. I mean, you cannot walk away from a big bunch of debt and say, oh, well, that didn't work, I'll be all right now. No, because that energetic, you know, if you take a big lump of money out of this energetic circle and you go, well, I'm running away from that, and then trying to, it's really tricky to play that game. And I said, you know, you don't want to go down that road, because you've made the mistake. You didn't pay the payroll. You didn't pay the GST. If you're just saying, well, just declare bankruptcy and let it go, no, that's going to follow you around, and you'll be open to audits. You'll be open to red flagging. If you, in 10 years' time, if your business is doing well, they could easily pull an audit on you. And I gave her a good example. Another friend who I know called Andrew, is not his real name, he went bankrupt at the age of 61. All right. And basically, he stopped making money and he just kept spending. And his biggest debtor was the CRA, because he didn't pay his GST bill. And so he went bankrupt. And 2 years later, after he got himself out of it and was starting on the process of, you know, recovery, they audited him. And then 2 years later, they came in again and audited him again for GST. So they did payroll, it's not payroll, they did personal tax, and then they did GST. So now he's completely red flagged. And I said, Junie, you don't want to do that. All right. And so look for the creative ways of refinancing this, and then turn your attention into making more money again, right? Because that's where you're good, right? So the great thing with what you have is you have an asset. Oh, and then it cropped up, right? And then she said, well, I've worked all my life to build this flat, and it's my money, and I don't want to use it, and I want to pay it off, and it's gonna give me a bit of income and all this stuff. I said, Kathy, the whole purpose of building assets is to use them in good debt and leverage the good debt so you can grow further. But you have to get rid of this debt, all right? So you have to either get this HELOC set up against your property, and then go and do a deal with the CRA and pay it down 20 grand a month or whatever it is. And because, you know, their interest rate is going to be 5, 7, 8%, whatever it is, plus penalties. So you want to pay it off as quick as possible. But you can always pick up the phone and play dumb girl and get a deal, all right? And that's the other thing that I was trying to express to her. I said, you know, the money game is a dance, all right? And I gave her another example is I've used borrowing with credit cards for 30 years, all right? And I explained this to her, and it drives Jeannie, she's that side, it drives her nuts, because she can't understand. Well, she understands it, but it's like, I don't know how you can do this. But I love it, right? Because it starts with a phone call. And phone call is my joy juice. Pick up the phone, and I'm dealing with a minion who is just has all these things that they have to say on a script on their computer. And this is the other thing I was trying to explain to Kathy is, I said, this is all over, like, money is a relationship, right? So I got on the phone to them, and I know every single phone call whether I can get that person to do what I want, but then be happy about it, right? And there's a few times where it doesn't work, because you get a real right A, on the phone, and then you just put the phone down and you start again, because they basically got call centers, right? So I sense the energy of what I'm dealing with. And so we have used MBNA for 25 years. I've got a MasterCard, which I never use for purchases. It is purely there to generate what they call is, they give you a line of credit and they give you a cash advance, all right? And when we first set up our businesses, I would get this cash advance for 18 months. And I told Kathy this, I said, and you can try this and go and ring all these companies and try and get these cash advances. So you get the card, you ring up, and then they offer you a cash advance for 18 months at 0%, $40,000, $20,000. Do you take it? You pay a small fee, and then you have $40,000 to play with for 18 months.
At 0%. There's no bank 0%. Loan. There's no HELOC. There's nothing that can beat that interest rate. So what you've done is, you know, the standard financial knowledge or advice is just stay away from credit cards. But that's for people who can't control themselves. Okay, for people who can control themselves and really start to play money as a game, as a dance, what your system of credit card financing is excellent and it's brilliant, but you have to be able to hit your deadlines on it. Okay, so you've taken an MBNA at 0% for 18 months and you've taken that money and done what with it?
Right. So I then take that money and I basically put that money into the business. Right. So I've always used this cash generation method to fund the businesses. And I explained to her, I said, look, you know, no bank looked at us for 10 years. And I said, they're not going to look at you for 10 years either, because you have no track record. You know, you've got this debt now, you've maybe got a house and stuff. But they won't take you seriously until you've been around the circuit a few times, all right? And that's just reality. So you then got to get creative about how you generate the money. So I found this was a creative way of generating the money. But here was the two things about it. And I said, this is another thing you got to remember. It's just like the CRA playing the game. You have to do your monthly minimum, which is in our case is $400, $450 a month. And then you have to pay the full amount off when it comes up for its 18-month renewal. And I said, what I used to do is I go and borrow from another one, you know, however I would do it, and I would always creatively do it with this American Express, TD, Bank at Scotia Bank, whatever, and I put it all together, I get my $40,000, pay it off, then about 7 days before it's due, so make sure the money goes in, then it all goes to zero again, and then 5 days later, ring them up, and there's guaranteed another loan, and I do it all over again. So I recycle this 40,000 in and out and in and out, and I
so
don't.
So just to clarify, you've taken the 40,000 that's due on the MBNA MasterCard, you've borrowed that from Visa, American Express, wherever you have to, of your other cards that are at a higher interest rate, but you know you're only borrowing it for a short period of time. So you get the 40,000, you pay off the MBNA and ahead of time, a week before it's due, and then you wait 5 days later after the term is finished, so that would be 12 days total, you call up NBNA and you say, hey, what have you got? Have you got any kind of, you know, deals going? And sure enough, they offer you another one at 0% or maybe 1.9%. And then you take it and you take the money and you pay off the high interest credit cards that you borrowed from, right? Yes. And you just keep cycling it like that. Meanwhile, the 40,000 that you put into the business is growing, because the whole point of this money game, this works for entrepreneurs. It does not work for people on a fixed income. We're taught this is solely about entrepreneurs, where you know you can take that chunk of money and you can put it into your business, or maybe you've got a really great stock investment strategy and you've got a tax-free savings account, you can pop it in there and you're paying 1.9 interest, but in your tax-free savings account you're making 20-30% on your stocks. That's good debt.
Yeah. But you said a point there, Jeannie, that only entrepreneurs can do this. I'd actually tend to disagree with that as well. Entrepreneurial side is a great way of funding a business. But if you're disciplined, you could take that 40,000 MBNA and you can then put it into some sort of stock market TFSA, which is a tax-free savings account here in Canada, where you get an allowance every year to put amount of money in, which you can then invest, and that gives you a tax-free on the returns, right? And then and I explained to Kathy this as well. I said, here's another aspect to this whole money game is that, and people don't tell you all this, you've got to start maxing out your investing now at an early age. I said the main word you should think about in your business and personal, it's very simple. I'm trying to teach my kids this as well, is called compound. Because the whole purpose of compounding is it's like building your business. You're compounding your revenues constantly by investing back into a new, whatever business you're in, whether you're a plumber or a gardener or, it doesn't matter what you do. You're investing back in because you're trying to compound your business to compound your revenue. And it's no different from playing the investing game markets and stuff like that. You put $100 in every month, 100, 100, 100, 100, and then eventually you compound your principal, and then with the investments, 7% of your principal just continues to grow, right? It's a basic math principle that they teach. But the thing I tried to explain to her, I said, they don't teach this in school in real life. They teach you about compounding, but they don't teach you the real life compound of how to compound your. So I said, just note that this money thing is not necessarily just about your business. You can also do this if you are making 100 grand a year, 200 grand, 60 grand. Your Starbucks that you make purchases for every day, just don't make three of them and take that money and put it into somewhere which is going to give you 7%, 8%, 9% a year.
What I hear you saying is because most people's education about money comes from people like Dave Ramsey, right? Who are like, your number one thing you want to do is to have zero debt. You want to have no credit card debt and you want to pay off your mortgage and be debt free on your house. And that's one way of doing it, but that's not your way. And you could never have generated the millions of dollars that you've generated if you'd followed that financial advice. Your way is leverage. But like you said, you have to determine between good debt and bad debt. And as you said, the bad debt is all the stuff that doesn't make money and doesn't play in your money game, right? It's the Ferrari or the Chanel or the expense first class flights. Like that cannot come back to you in money, but property is a huge chunk of equity sitting there that you can then leverage to make you even more money while your property is appreciating over time. So this is a real mindset shift.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny you should say that, Jeannie, because Kathy's last message to me yesterday when I was driving back, because we've had the first phone call, she wants to talk to me again because something exciting has happened. I think she's spoken to the mortgage broker, she's spoken to the banks, and then she started talking about bankruptcy. And I went, ah, bankruptcy. So I haven't spoken to her about the bankruptcy part yet. And this is my opinion only. So you guys, everyone else out has to look at themselves. I personally don't think bankruptcy is a very good thing to do energetically with money. To walk away from debt that you've created, because debt can only be created by yourself, because you're irresponsible enough to not be able to make enough money to pay that debt or to be smart how you want to manage that debt and then run away from it. I don't think that's karmically good. I think there's payback. I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I would look at it. So I would always encourage you to try and make to pay rather than run to let it go, all right?
I actually agree with you. And, I have a bunch of books on OPM, other people's money. And they're like, yeah, you can get money from here, you can get money from there, and don't worry about it. And I'm like, no, energetically, that feels wrong. And for myself, for all of the businesses I've run, I've never taken someone else's money without investing some of my own. I always put my own skin in the game to make sure that it super matters. And like you, I have never declared bankruptcy, and I wouldn't do that. And even if I had to, I would then on the back end pay back my individual investors, because like you said, this is the mindset, is that money is an energy. And it's no different from any other energy that you play with and you dance with in your incarnation on this planet. And you have to be in alignment with your values, and you also have to be in alignment with your personality. Like Ian, you're someone who, you love to dance really close to the edge, and your money game reflects that. For someone else, if they try to dance that close to the edge, they're gonna fail, because it's not gonna work for them, because they can't hold that container. They'll go into negativity, and then guess what'll happen to their money? Their money will choke, their money will contract, they'll lose their money. So this is part of the energetics of money. You have to play with money in a way that makes you feel excited and open and expansive and positive. If you can't maintain a positive mindset, your money's gonna tank.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and a really good point. And I'd just like to reinforce this message as well, that, you know, life is very short. And life, if you don't figure out how to play with the proverbial currency, can tie you up in knots forever. And you will end up as a 75-year-old messed up old person who is messed up with money, really. That's what happens. And I've seen it very recently with my family and a few other people's families, where they haven't figured out their relationship with money. And in this case, it's been more that you've hoarded all this money, which is just as much detrimental of effects if you have all this debt, because they haven't figured out their relationship, how to dance with abundance. All right. So it works both ways round. And I think the key here, in my youthful experience of having been a 63-year-old, and I've expressed a lot of this to Kathy, right? There's so much we talked about. And she said, "Oh, Ian, you got to put this together. Oh, this is amazing." I said, "Oh, no, I know I'm amazing." And so the key for me is this. It's like a bait ball in an ocean, all right? There's a lot of anchovies in there, right? And then you got all the sharks coming in trying to pick away at all the anchovies. But the bait ball's going round and round and round. And that's your energetic ball of money, all right? There's money going out, and there's more anchovies coming in. That's actually not a great analogy, because all the bait balls normally get eaten because the whales come and nick it all. But you understand what I mean, all right? It's every anchovy in that bait ball is a little dollar, and it's like that, right? And I am a great believer in that you have to feed the world as well as take from the world, all right? And feeding the world creates more coming back into your bait ball. It just really does. It really, really works that way, all right? And so I'm working right now on myself in the abundance area of, you know, as I get older and older and older, what do I want this to look like? Do I want to die with nothing and give my kids everything now? Is that going to ruin them? Do I want to die with billions in the bank going, "Well, that was a waste of bloody time, wasn't it? I've had all that energy and now I've got this, I can't take it with me." So this whole dance with money, it's something you've got to continually work on in your whole life. And I, as I said to Kathy, you're 23, 24, 25 years old. This is an amazing opportunity for you to have this shit hit the fan. And I said, "You're an entrepreneur. Trust me, it's going to happen again and again and again and again." And then I told her, I said, "You do realize, Kathy, that I've got more debt than you even now. And you might think that I'm rich or this, whatever it is, but I've got a lot of debt because I'm playing with debt. Because debt feeds banks, you know, debt feeds credit cards, not credit cards, but the MBNAs get there a little bit. Debt feeds production over here. So you have to leverage constantly in and out, in and out, until I guess you get to the billionaire level where you can use your own money as debt, because that's all they do. You know, Bill Gates or all these Warren Buffetts, all they do is they use their own money to do the debt. because they're leveraging shit all the time, right? But I kind of like the game. I just kind of like picking up the phone. And I told Kathy, I said, MBNA 5 days ago, I missed a freaking payment because the bank screwed up. First payment I'd missed for years with them. And they were going to cancel my 0%. But I just made her laugh and had a chat with her. And she goes, you know, you've been with us for 30 years, blah, 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 blah. We'll let it go. So everything is negotiable, as I said to Kathy. Everything is negotiable. All right. So if the dark door seems slammed, go bang on it and try and open it. And I said, but the CRO, all right?
I also really love your advice that, you know, all of these places are staffed by call centers. If you get someone who won't dance with you, hang up the phone and call back because you'll get someone else. Eventually, you're going to hit someone who is not having a shitty day, who is willing to have a chat and is willing to help you. Just the what I've seen too in my life, like the number one determinant of success, no matter what industry I've been in, whether it's the music industry, the film industry, the health industry, the number one determinant of success is persistence. And that's what I've learned as well from being in business with you, Ian, because you're just a rabid dog. You are absolutely 100% persistent. You will never give up. And that's the biggest success marker. So anyway, going back to the mindset thing, I want to bring up something else that further, because this whole discussion has made Kathy think a lot about, well, what about her money game and how she's been responding energetically. And she said, you know, I realized that something shifted. She said, because, you know, a few years ago, I had no debt and I had $20,000 saved in the bank. I had the condo, the apartment, and money was just flowing and it felt easy. And so she said, I was trying to track, like, what happened that now I'm in this place where money's not flowing. I'm totally stressed. I owe $70,000. Like, what happened? And so she was trying to work that out. And so what she did is she and her fiance bought a house of which she has a mortgage. The condo that she bought, her parents helped her buy. So she had parental help on that. She wasn't solely responsible. So you see what I'm talking about, the difference in the energetics. If you've got mom and dad behind you, that's a really safe place. So it's easy for you to be free and loose and stay positive with money because you're not the rubber hit the road person. Mom and dad gonna bail you out. Now she's bought a bigger property, a much more expensive property that she's on the hook for. There's no mom and dad with this one. Also, she had been living at home. And this is a metric that I think people on both sides of the equation are not aware. If you are living at home, you probably have no idea how many of your expenses are being paid for by your parents, how many running costs they're carrying on your behalf. And then you buy your first home that you live in, and all of a sudden you're paying all those expenses and now you have no money and you have no idea. You're like, how did my money just go? Because running any property is expensive and there are tons of hidden costs that you don't take into account. And so I guess the first thing would be like, well, stay with your parents as long as you can, but start contributing to your parents' household. Start paying some of that money so you can start to shoulder that burden. And then when you're ready and you get your own place, understand that there's going to be a ton of extra expenses that are all of a sudden going to show up in your world that you were not tracking before, you were not aware of. And so now we get into the mindset, right? So now before you had support and you had very low expenses because mom and dad were in your corner, now you're 100% on your own. The buck stops here. And how do you maintain your positive attitude, your positive energy, and keep money flowing with an open heart, with an open hand, not a closed fist trying to hold on to everything? That's contraction. Has to be open, has to be in flow.
A lot to reflect on here. The thing I'm loving about this process with Kathy, is we had this phone call, I think last week, and why she will be successful is very simple, is that she's moved into action immediately. That literally within hours, she had a meeting with the mortgage broker, meeting with the bank, you know, talking about with the accountant. The accountant thought the HELOC was a really good idea, rang me in a voicemail. So she's moving into action. So she will, the forest is in front of her. She will create a way through that forest. It's going to happen because her intention is very clear. She's going to find a way to sort this out. And she's over the moon that she's kind of got us to mentor to a certain degree, to brainstorm ideas, right? And she was indebted. She said, I can't believe what, like, man, it's amazing. Like, I would never have thought of this. And so that's where this podcast came from, right? Or this discussion.
But again, it comes back to her. She reached out for help. She didn't just sit there and stew and drop further and further into negativity. And I'm isolated, I'm alone, I'm going to have to declare bankruptcy. She looked around her and she was, you know, here at the property doing some work for me. And she's, can I ask you a question? Of course. Right. Yeah. So again, that's part of the positive mindset that you have to have. You have to keep shaking the trees. You have to keep asking. You have to keep picking up the phone and calling. Like, you just don't give up until you figure out how to make it work, which she's obviously very good at. I mean, she's the only person I know who's 25 years old, owns a successful business and two properties.
Two properties. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
She's rocking it.
But right now, you know, from the voicemail she left last night, I feel there's an element of her that doesn't want to let go of this, her property, which was hers, that she wants it paid off, right, at 25, which is like, why? Leverage it. Like, I mean, it's amazing. You've got an asset, right? And we haven't had that discussion yet. So that's an amazing opportunity for her to fund whatever she wants, right? As long as it's good stuff she's funding. And then her fear of money from how she used to be to how she's got herself into this position of, I think she racked up some credit card debt and all this stuff, right? So she's going through this, oh my God, I was like that, but no, I'm not. But I think removing the fear of how money can control you is massive. You just really got to play with it. Money is a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool, like water, like air, like it's something to be used to do something with. All right. If you let it stagnate in a fring with the banks getting hold of it and they're lending it out at 3%, you know, making Jack Daniels because of the inflation rate. It's a mosquito infested pool because it's doing nothing for no one except for other people. You have to make it work for you. That is what life is about, in my opinion, right? It's like blood going around your brains, right? Use money, but you've got to clear your relationship with it and not have a fear of loss or a fear of abundance or whatever that is. And every single one of us is different. And that's what makes this very interesting, this whole money game.
But I think the other aspect to it is most people are trying to derive their feeling of safety and security from money. Well, if I have my house paid off and I have no credit card debt, I'll feel safe. I'll be safe.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And if you can get your head around the fact that we're here in third dimension planet Earth, safety is an illusion. There is no safety here. Look at the entire spectrum of history. So your house is paid off and you have no credit card debt. And then Hitler comes to town, takes it all and throws you into a prison camp. Where's your safety and security, right? Yeah. You've got everything you need. And then, you know, the government changes and they, like this happened in Canada, people had their whole financial situation set up in a trust vehicle and blah, blah, blah. And then Trudeau got elected and said, yeah, he said, well, trusts we're canceling that. No more trust. People had spent $20,000 setting up their trust structure. Their entire retirement plan was based upon this trust structure. And Trudeau came in and said, no more trusts. We're wiping that out. We don't like it anymore. Like, you have no safety and security on this planet. Here's where your safety and security lies. And this is what set me free from this money worry. And also the illusion that if I just got enough money, I could be safe, right? What set me free was saying to myself, if you took away everything I had and you put me in some random city, in some random country, could I make money? Yes, I can. Because what I know about myself is I can always look around me and find a hole in the marketplace. I can always look around me and see what people want that is not being provided, and then I'll provide that. So, and a great story to illustrate this that I read about, there was a woman, and this was in the South, when slavery, there were some emancipated slaves, and there were still a lot of slaves. So we're talking someone dirt poor, like literally lives in a hut on a dirt floor, right? This woman looked around herself and went, look at all these slaves going off to work in the morning, emancipated slaves. So they were still super, super poor, but they had jobs, and she would watch them walk by on their way to, they were all men, right? Because of slavery, they didn't have families. There were no family structure, right? And she thought, I wonder, these men must be hungry, because how many men know how to cook, right? So she made these, whatever she made, some kind of sandwich or whatever it was in the South, and she set up a roadside stall right where those men worked on their way to work. And guess what? They bought their lunch from her. Of course they would. She knew how to cook. It was delicious. It was tasty. They finally had a way to feel like, oh, my work means something. I can buy something to reward myself. Well, how long before do you think that it took her to just keep multiplying and multiplying and multiplying that business? You know, so you can't give yourself any excuse. You can be the poorest of the poor, and you can figure out a way to make money. That's your security. That's where it lies.
Yeah, 100%. And another thing that I started talking to Kathy about, which is on my agenda to discuss with her, is about is goal setting. All right, and goal setting is important. But the most important part about goal setting is the strategy. All right, so a goal setting is, I want to make £1 million by I'm 25. All right, that's not going to set you free. But what will set you free is the journey. So the strategy of how I'm going to do that, all right? So I'm going to write a book. I'm going to go do marketing courses. Even if it's an investment in yourself for 10 years and you go into debt for that, that's extremely good leverage debt to invest to make you a better person. 100%. And that's, we parent that way, all right? Anything our kids want to be better people, we'll invest in. Anything for bad things, do it yourself, right? And so... the goal setting of making $1 million by 25, it's quite a dangerous exercise. Because even if, let's say you'd be an Instagram, YouTube or whatever, and you make $1 million by 25, then what? Then what, all right? So a number is an irrelevant objective to a certain degree, because once you get it, it doesn't change nothing. You know, you can have £10,000 in your bank, you have £1 million in your bank, and you've reached it. Then what do you do? All right. The journey is the most important part of everything. All right. And the $1 million will just go and buy you one Ferrari, and then you get 50 million, five Ferrari. I mean, what, whatever. So you've got to be very careful with how you associate your goals of what you want in terms of figures of money. Right. And I had to work through that when I was younger, right? Because my dad used to win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. So I had this fear of making $1 million that I was going to lose it, because my dad had taught me that's what happens, right? To a certain degree. There's a lot more going on there. So I had to do some work on myself to figure out. And that opened up our business to be able to grow. Because my
And limit- what technique did you use to work on that?
Oh, I can't remember, Jeannie. Oh, tippy-tappy toes. This energy technique, all it does, it just basically, for me, because I'm like water and energy and all that stuff.
Laser tapping or EFT tapping.
And it basically enables everything just to flow and clear the blocks and things, and kind of previous limiting beliefs that I had in there that were just basically saying, nope, can't make money. Nope, can't make money. All you do is you just kind of remove it and everything goes, yes, you can make money. You can make money, right? And that's kind of how I would interpret it. And that's how, and it's amazing how quickly it moves. But that's
because as another. Ian highlighted, all of us have blocks and saboteurs that we've inherited from our family, because that's how socialization works. And so, you know, it's really important, again, to delve into yourself, to get that self-awareness. And if you can't, book with a practitioner. Like, remember, Ian, we were at the point, we had two babies, toddlers. We had bought a property. The business, you had just shut down your advertising agency to come and help me in my health business because it was expanding rapidly, which sounds good, but it takes all your cash when something expands rapidly, especially when it's an inventory-based business. So we were broke, and we were carrying
no money, no time, lots of children, no banks would look at us, needed somewhere to live, leveraged up the yin yang, mortgages up the yin yang, hustling like bunnies, sleep deprived, but you know, that's not a lot of stress.
So we were in danger of not being able to make our mortgage payment for the first time in our lives, and Ian had gone to five or six banks every single to get a loan, like to tide us over till the business could pick up a little bit more. Every single one of them had turned him down. And at that point I went, okay, you know what? This is energetic. So I booked a series of tapping sessions with a guy that I knew often worked with money issues. So again, pick someone who specializes. If you want to work with money, pick someone who's used to working with money, not someone who specializes in weight loss. And I booked a series of sessions with him, and I did two sessions, and it was going, wow, I'm just clearing so much stuff and things coming up that, again, these were subconscious saboteurs. I was unaware of them until I used this integrated mind-body tapping therapy to loosen them where my subconscious could bring it up to the surface. So I was making good progress, but all after two sessions, I was like, Andy, I can't afford to pay you. Like, we're so broke, I cannot afford $100. And he said, Jeannie, he said, you're so close. He goes, you're almost there. And then money's never going to be a problem for you again. He said, tell you what I'll do. He goes, you keep coming. You pay me when you can, because I believe in you and I know you're so close. I was like, wow. So I kept coming. And I think after the next session, you went back, because I was like, and I would come home and I would tell Ian about what I cleared in the sessions and the progress I was making. And after the next session, we were like, okay, that's been a huge shift. Ian went back to the very same bank who had refused him, but we're now more in debt, because of course we don't have any cash, so everything's going on our credit card. All our debt, the only thing that's changed is our debt is higher. And the bank manager gives him a loan for, I think it was $30,000.
Is that Mana at TD?
I
can't remember.
Yeah. And it was like, boom. All we changed was our energy surrounding money. And I knew, I was wise enough to perceive that the blocks, because we're married, our money game, his money game and my money game become our money game. And yeah. I knew the blocks were coming from me. So I went and did the sessions. And then by the time I'd done the fourth session, I paid Andy for all the sessions, like, and we were home free. And we've never looked back, and we've never been in that position again.
Let's bring it back to Kathy again, because it's quite funny. She's halfway in the process, right? So we'll do another little session and we'll give you what happened. But I predict, because she's raised the issue, she's sought people that have given her some ideas, she's now actioning it, I guarantee you the universe will now deliver, and it will deliver her maybe a couple of options, because she's moved into going up the next level. She's been vulnerable in terms of exposing herself to, oh, fuck, I made a bad decision. Should I say a bad word, Jeannie? Too late.
Yeah.
And she's now addressing it, and now looking at that, maybe her mindset has to shift and change. And I can guarantee you, she will get a result. Absolutely no question about it.
Yeah.
So the key, identify the problem and then start moving into action. And you'll be so surprised how things just go, how the dominoes just fall down. And then when you're in that zone, you know, it's a lot of fun. And then you get over that step, and guess what? There's another step in front of you. And I said, Kathy, This is just the beginning. I'm 63 and I'm still doing it. She goes, oh no. I said, yeah, as you become more wealthier, more open to abundance, to play with the money game more, they're going to throw more shit at you. So it just becomes more zeros. That's all it is. Because money is a one and a zero. Where do you think fucking computers came from? Right? They're just zeros. That's all it is. And digital banking, it's just zeros. How many zeros have you got in your bank, right? How are you going to play with those zeros? That's all it is. It's a fucking game. Excuse my language. I get excited when I swear a bit.
You can swear away. Yeah, so, and this is what I mean about Kathy's bigger thing here. She's facing a mindset shift. She's going from the have no credit card debt and pay off your have your house paid off to money's a game, leverage debt. Use good debt, leverage it to build more, do more, explore more. Go further, have more fun, have more experiences, or be over here and go, I just want to have my little small life where I have everything paid off and I'm safe. We've already talked about
100%.
how that's, and do you want to buy into that, or do you want to see that for the illusion that it is and go, there is no safety. Any government can take it away from you in a snap. And so I'm going to make a better use of my time here on earth because I'm not a young soul. I'm an older soul. And I'm going to move into this mindset where I start to play and I start to dance with money as the energy that it is. That's the place where she's at. Which direction does she go?
And you know, I'll explore this with a bit more. I'm gonna really like take her above that and say, you have to fuel the things that you really love to be doing. You know, I always people go, oh, my dream is this. That dreams are very interesting. They're a bit dangerous to a certain degree, like set an objective to make a million. But fueling not even the passions, but fueling the things that you want to do. From my perspective, is really what it's all about, right? There's a tank full of stuff there. Event. It's like you got your car, right? You're running out of gas. Fill it up with gas. Go and do your ski trip or your trip to shopping or whatever it is, right? So that you have to start playing with money in that way, and it becomes this bait ball and things like that. But everyone is on their own journey, and everyone has their own different ways of doing it. But most all the successful, like even like Joe Brogan, Rogie Bears, all right. He said that. He says, you know, I was hunting and trying to make, you know, I set my goal of, and I got there and I went, is that it? I think it's 5 million. He says, is that it? Right. So now what he does, he takes his zeros and he sets up a comedy store in Austin, Texas, and does it differently. So instead of trying to make as much money as possible, he fuels giving the money to the comedians who are the product. So he gives them a high percentage and he just makes money from the liquor. So he's got a totally new business model of comedy, and his comedy store is packed out every night because he's getting the best comedians who are completely funded and everyone's drinking more. So his business model is blowing other old business models out the water. Why? Because he's using his fuel to do something which he loves doing, which is comedy, all right? And other people are now benefiting.
But
So that
the key part of that story is it was the removal of fear around money that enabled him to do that. And so okay, like you said, yeah, when you get to be really rich, you can leverage your own money, which is what he did. But let's say you're not rich yet, and let's say you still have that vision. You can leverage your existing assets, or you can go out and borrow or do whatever, you know, there's lots of techniques. He could have done the same thing. But this is where the
right.
money as an energy comes in. But he did not, I'm projecting here, I have no idea what he felt, but let's just say he did not feel free and safe enough to do that. But if he had, it would have been successful way back then.
True. Yeah. Because
So
he's
this is
fueling
the game. This
something
is the
without
game
doing
of
it, right?
money.
Yeah. And you know, obviously things don't work out all the time, and there's always failure, and it's how you deal with the fence in front of you. You know, you can have failure of not being able to get money to grow to the next level, or failure because your product hasn't sold. It's the same freaking thing, all right? It's the question of how do you respond and react with resilience to get over the barrier. All right. And you want money on your side. Trust me. You want your relationship with money to be on your side because it makes it a lot easier. If you're fighting money because of, you know, your dad didn't give you money, or you've got major money issues because you don't trust people or whatever, that ain't going away. It's going to keep coming up. So you gotta distribute all that shit out and have a flowing money system in your own body. All right. And I love playing with it. Like, I'll a quick story for you. I know Jeannie likes to hear this story. So I will play with PayPal. So I'll transfer money from into our US bank, but I don't have enough in that day. So what I'll do is I'll try and suck in some orders in that next couple of hours before the closing batch process happens, to see if I can just get that money in to make the so my check doesn't bounce, right? And 9 times out of 9, or 8 times out of 8, it always works. And within a few minutes as well. It's quite funny. Shit, I need $270. Oh, it's a bit stupid. Order for 320 comes in. Woo! And it's
okay. Like, so I'm going to stop you. When you're sitting there saying, I need $270, how are you saying that? How are you holding that? What's the container for that intention? Like, speak about it in energetic terms.
I did it yesterday. When I deposited some money into our account, and I thought, this is not going to quite be enough. I need a little bit more from PayPal today. So it's become so fluid now. I don't even put anything in it. It just happens. It's become just need $150. So, but before I was playing with it, right? So the intent is just the intention. The intention is, I've got great products. Come on, customers, give us a PayPal order. I don't want a Shopify order. I need you to pay with PayPal. I make it even more difficult, right? Because they can choose PayPal or Shopify. So it just becomes an intention. It becomes, this is what I need to pay the bills and things. And it just becomes, I don't know, it's just, it's...
But what I'm trying to highlight, because I'm willing to guess, if you said, okay, universe, I need this to come in, and it has to come in, and I'm going to hold this intention, and okay, focusing, bringing in the money, focusing, visioning. Yeah, talk to me.
No, that's overkill for me, but that might be good for you.
No, it doesn't work for anybody. That's my point. No. So I'm trying to get you to articulate that you surround that ask and that intention with.
So what I will do, I will go in into a zone of, I've got a freaking amazing business, I've got amazing customers, and I've got amazing products, and you lot just love us, we love you, come on. And I don't actually say that, but that's what it's about. It's all about playing with the business, that the business is amazing.
So you have basically an entire positive framework around that ask and holding that intention. None of it is punitive. None of it is fear-based. There's no worry or anxiety. It's just, you're coming from the space of, this must be, because it's fantastic. And my business is fantastic. And my customers are fantastic. PayPal's fantastic. And I've surrounded the whole process with love and positivity. It is, it must be.
Yeah. And it's like a little, you know what it is? It's a little game in the day of being an entrepreneur. That's all it is for me. It's like, it wouldn't be, it'd be like you going, I'm going to write a blog post on why the horses are trying to push me around right now. That's all it is. It's just in my days of activities. Oh, I'm a bit, okay, I'll do this right now. Do you know what I mean?
And is there a thought?
A space to it.
Is there a thought where you go, okay, if the money doesn't come in, what will I do? Is that part of the process?
Always got a contingency. I've always got a way to get around it. There's always, if it doesn't work, I know how I'll fix it.
Okay. So I think that's a really important aspect of being able to stay in a positive energetic frequency, is you have to have a worst case scenario that you've schemed it out, and you're like, yeah, okay, I know what I'll do. If it goes to that, if it hits that worst case scenario, here's what I'm going to do. I have some ideas. So you're not sitting in fear of the worst case scenario. And for me, because I always, you know, I actually started my first business at the age of 9. It was a candy store, and we were wildly successful. But my first incorporated company was at the age of 19. Now, every business that I've started since then, I have not had any capital to start that business. And I've purposely not done a cash flow plan because that would only put restriction and limitation on me. I needed money to flow. So I was like, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to jump off the cliff in positivity and allow the universe to bring what I need and hold that energetic container. And every business I've started and run has been profitable. However, for every single business, I have had a worst case. Okay, if this totally bombs and it totally fails and have no money or in debt, what's the worst case scenario? Well, the worst case scenario is I live in a country that has social services. I can get funded for housing. I used to volunteer at downtown kitchens where we fed people. So I knew I could always get food. We're not in sub-Sahara Africa where failure means you might die. We are in countries that have social services. You're not going to be on the street. You're not going to be starving. Sure, it won't be great quality food. Sure, the housing will suck and you'll be surrounded by, but you're not going to be starving. You're not going to be dead. Okay, I can deal with that. And that for me is what removes the fear.
I think for me, just from a, this can apply to everybody, right? Does everyone know what this is?
An iPhone.
Yeah. How many of these are in the world now? Billions. Do you know how easy it is to make a phone call from anywhere now? Phone call can resolve anything. I rest my case. My worst case scenario, if the PayPal thing drops, is I ring up the bank where the check is going to bounce and I say, don't bounce it, please. And they go, okay, yeah, no problem. That's the worst case that can happen.
Yeah.
Or
Except
phone call.
you have 100% hit rate with sucking in exactly that amount of money you need via PayPal, because PayPal deposits automatically versus Shopify, which is a 24-hour delay. And it's a game that you play, and it's great because this is mastery. Mastery comes from fluency. And through this little exercise, you play your money game and you hone your skills. You hone your ability to hold that container of positivity that sucks in what you need as you need it. It's huge skill.
We're not talking billions of dollars here, right? This is just
Doesn't need to
a
be. It doesn't need to be. But if you
startup.
had a deal, let's say you're going to go and buy a $2 million property and you need to suck in whatever, 500, 600,000, you're going to use the same principles to make that money happen.
I was in England about 2 years ago, Beans, with Hugo, with his football stuff, and I was just running out of UK pounds. And I'm like going, oh man, I've got to pay the, and guess what happens like within 3 hours? Cha-ching! And so
Your mom sent you some money?
just out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Just because it's a long story. I'm not going to say that. Anyway, it was very, very
Yeah, but
moving.
money, but this is the part of the flow of money is being open to money from everywhere. You know, it doesn't have to come in the way that you expected. It doesn't have to come in the vehicle that you want. You're open. Money can be this fluid thing. So I want to take everybody through an exercise that Ian and I have done before and we've really enjoyed. It's from a
Wait.
book by a famous hypnotherapist called Paul McKenna, called I Can
Yeah.
Make You Rich.
This
And
guy's
this,
brilliant. Really
yeah,
good.
so grab a piece of paper, and Ian, maybe you want to do this exercise again. And I'm going to have you complete 12 sentences about money, wealth, and riches to uncover the key elements of your current unconscious programming. So, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this or watching this video, grab a piece of paper and fill in the blanks, okay? And don't think, you got to do this fast. This is not a thinking thing. This is like first thought, write it down, because we want to tap your unconscious, not what you should think and what, okay? So ready, let's go. We're gonna go fast. Number one, people with money are, write it down. Number two, money makes people, write it down. Number three, I'd have more money if. Number four, my parents always thought money would.
I don't remember doing this.
Number five, money causes.
Don't worry about any answer you're writing, by the way. This
Number
is coming up thing.
six, I'm afraid that if I had more money, I would. Number seven, money is. Number eight, in order to have more money, I would need to.
Some of these answers I'm doing don't even make sense.
Number nine, I think money.
Whoa, whoa,
Number
whoa.
10, if I were really rich, I would. Number 11, my biggest fear about money is. Number 12, money
Here
is.
we are. How many?
Number 12, money is.
Oh, money is.
Okay, now go back over those 12.
Scary things.
The unconscious beliefs. Circle any of your unconscious beliefs about money that might be holding you back, even if they seem unquestionably true to you.
You can email Jeannie all your responses, by the way.
And if you're looking back and you're like, oh, I'm not sure what I wrote down because I was just filling in blanks, you can stop the recording and go back and write the first part of the sentence.
What was the last point you wanted us to do?
I want you to go back over that list of 12 things
Yeah.
and circle any of them that might be holding you back, even if they seem unquestionable. Like, for example, on number 11, I had written, my biggest fear about money is losing it. Well, that's an unconscious belief that's going to hold me back because it's based in fear. So I
All right.
circled that one. So again, the list is number one, people with money are. Number two, money makes people. Number three, I'd have more money if. Number four, my parents always thought money would. Number five, money causes. Number six, I'm afraid that if I had more money, I would. Number seven, money is. Number eight, in order to have more money, I would need to. Number nine, I think money. Number 10, if I were really rich, I would. Number 11, my biggest fear about money is. And number 12, money is.
Sweet.
Okay, did you circle your unconscious beliefs? The ones that are seem un that might be holding you back.
Yeah. Are you going to give this to Kathy to do?
She is going to do this, so she's going to follow
Good.
along, as are all our listeners, but you're being the example. So
Oh.
tell us the ones that you have.
I can't remember any of the ones. Number three.
Number three, I'd have more money if
I was more focused.
Okay, that's so funny because.
Look, okay, I just wrote this stuff down without thinking, all right? Not thinking. I basically wrote the first thing that came in.
That's what you're supposed to do. But what's interesting is for number three, I wrote, I'd have more money if I focused more.
So no.
We wrote exactly the same thing.
So you and I got to focus on some coin.
Okay, what's your next? What's your next?
Number five.
Number this five, is, money causes.
This is very relevant to what I'm going through. Hassles with family.
Interesting. All right, what's your next one?
Hassles with this family. Hassles with, you know, where I was born.
Okay, no. What's your next unconscious negative?
Number belief? Eight.
Sorry?
Number eight.
Number eight, in order to have more money, I would need to
be braver.
Okay.
I don't know what that's about.
Any others?
Number 11.
My biggest fear about money is?
Taxes and government.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to the second part of the exercise. So you have those negative seeming beliefs about money that you just uncovered. Now, what I want you to do is substitute the word shovel, another practical tool.
This is the shovel exercise. I remember
that's
the shovel.
That's right, because money is just shovel. A tool. Let's substitute the name of another awesome tool.
And don't worry about being vulnerable here, because shovels don't have personalities, and they just exist as pieces of equipment.
Substitute the word shovel for money in each of the sentences on your list. Right. Notice whether the statements still make sense or have any emotional significance. For example, the love of shovels is the root of all evil. Shovels don't grow on trees. I feel guilty because I have more shovels than my father ever did. Remember, the idea here is simply to take away the emotional sting from these ideas. It doesn't matter whether you or not you really believe them. So for your statements, Ian, number three, I'd have more shovels if I were more focused. Okay. So that's interesting information, isn't it?
Very. That's Hara Gardner.
What was your next one?
Okay.
Number eight?
Number five.
Number five. Shovels cause?
Hassles with family. Yeah, because you're running around trying to hit everybody with shovels. Wait, give me my money back.
So is it the shovels that are causing the hassles with the family? Or is it the family dynamic and unresolved emotional?
The shovels have instigated the family dynamic, I would say. Sorry, the shovels have.
Right. So it's not the shovels or the money that's causing the hassles with the family. It is the existing relationships, the history, the unresolved emotional stuff, the in dysfunctions of each member of the family, all their unhealed wounds, all the trauma from the past. Money is just the tool.
Money is just the tool. So number eight.
The energetic expression of all of those unresolved wounds and dysfunctions.
So basically shovels are causing me problems.
What was your next one?
Shovels will make me be braver. Right. How's that going to look? Okay, if I'm going out into a field with a couple of bulls, sure.
So what's the issue about you being brave? It's not about shovels, is it? It's not about money. What's it about?
I don't know where that came from. I just wrote it down.
Yeah, so that's your work.
I think it's about, it's all relative. It's all relative about my relationship with money as to how much is enough to a certain degree, all right? Like I'm quite happy with my lifestyle, but then there's always that nagging thing of, well, if you did more and you were braver, maybe you'd make more, which I think we all have. Don't we have that little gremlin on the shoulder going, hey, if you did it better, you make more money. If you do this, you get a better car. If you do this, you know, there's always that little freaking pixie on your shoulder that, you know,
So my question to you is, do you want to be braver? Do
No,
you?
I'm actually, no, not really. I don't know where that came from.
So that maybe is something that's come from either family or society and culture that somehow has wormed its way into your unconscious. There's the yawn. Yawning is a sign of
Oh
release
no, stop it.
or an energy shift.
Keep vulnerability in front of people.
So where do you sit with that statement now?
It's stupid. It doesn't make sense, actually. Because I, if anything, I mean, if you were to ask the marketplace their perception of me, they'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe you've done this. You've done that. You did this. You went to aim for three. Like, that is brave to a certain degree. That is like I would do things in life that 0.005% of the population would do. Most of the population would
So
think I'm
who's telling you you need to be braver?
the little pixie.
On your shoulder.
The boulder on my shoulder becomes the pebble in my pocket. Is that right?
That's what Montaro says. So what do you want to do with that now?
Well, it doesn't really sit. It's irrelevant, actually. Being brave is not even irrelevant with money, is it? I guess. I mean, how I operate with money is people just go, "What, you nuts?" So I don't know what that was about. I have to think about that one.
Yeah, maybe there's a desire in you to go to the next level with money. So you need to become even more brave, not because you should or you need to, but because you want to progress in your journey of mastery over the energy of money.
I think it's a responsibility that I need to now accept to go to the next level, which, with what you and I are now having to look at to go through, we have no choice but to go to the next level. So I'm kind of being shaken up out of my comfort zone a bit. So I'm going, oh, does that mean I've got to be not braver? I've got to be more responsible. Without giving you all the context, you won't. It doesn't make too much sense, but I feel I've reached a comfort zone, then I've now got to go to the next level. It's what I was telling Kathy about, right? There's always another hedge in front of you. The
And
grand
why? Why?
dots.
Because the whole story of life on planet Earth is to get to that comfort level, that security, and then sit there until you die. Yeah, boring. That's not why we come to planet Earth. We
No.
come to planet Earth to evolve and grow and attain more and more mastery. That's why we're here in this incredibly difficult dimension. This is one of the most difficult dimensions that one could exist in. Why do we come here? We don't come here to just hit safety and security and sit there till we die. No, we come here to, as Montaro, the lead horse in my herd, said, get bigger until the boulder on your shoulder becomes a pebble in your pocket.
So we
Mastery.
started giving him more hay, and he's getting bigger, picking
Mastery.
alfalfa,
That's why
loads of
we come here.
money. Yeah, I think being braver means me going stand in the field with the bloody horses running at me at 7,000 miles an hour.
Maybe
No,
that's what you mean.
I think what came to me when you were saying that, Jeannie, was really, really critical for me. Was everyone on this planet has the most amazing opportunity to invest in themselves to become better people. And I'm not saying compassionate, better lovers, most making millionaires. Every single one of us is so freaking unique to be able to do, to be able to come here and just invest in ourselves. And that's, I think, where the braver thing comes from. Because it's very easy to sit playing Game Boy, watching the NFL, going to a football game, raising your kids and not having to shake the trees a bit. And I think a lot of people are very happy to do that. But I think deep down, most people want more. Most people want to go around that track a little bit faster. They just really do.
Yeah, I think that's why we're here. And we need to remember
Oh,
that and
really?
not be sucked in by the messages of, oh, we're here just to try and be safe, to try and be secure. to get ourselves to the place where we now don't need to do anything. You don't need to worry. Well, you know what? You don't need to worry anyway. Go to your worst case scenario. Get that handled. Now you can be free of worry. Now go ahead, move forward.
Here's another little thought for you as well. If a very small percentage of humanity has billions of zeros, why isn't it possible that everybody who doesn't have billions of zeros or many zeros have those zeros as well? Think about that one. What's stopping you from not having those zeros? It's not necessarily, hard work is there as well, but a lot of that is mindset. A lot of it is
well, and that's what the exercise.
There's so much abundance.
But that's what the exercise we just did reveals. It reveals where your unconscious beliefs that are holding you back around money, where they lie. And in the book, he recommends you to do that exercise once a week. Because it's not like you just have some unconscious beliefs. Like your list that you did now is different from the list that you did 5 months ago. Because as we clear our shit, more shit comes up to be cleared. Because why? Because we're on the path of mastery. So what's our, those were my limiting beliefs of 5 months ago, but what are my limiting beliefs of today?
Yeah. So the purpose of this podcast from both Jeannie and my perspective is that Kathy's reach out to us instigated some thought from us as to we might think we need to share some of this because many people can benefit from going to A to B, B to C, C to D, and everyone is on a different journey, right? And the fact that Kathy is now making those phone calls is something special because she's now further ahead in her journey, right?
Yeah, she's awesome. Maybe if we do a follow-up, she might agree to come on here with us and we'll just see how that goes. But we will
keep
definitely
calling her Kathy, right?
Yeah, we'll definitely keep you posted.
I like the name better, I like that.
And thank you, Ian.
What? For what? Oh,
for
right.
For the convo.
I make very rare appearances on Jeannie's horse channel.
This is not going on my horse channel.
I make very few appearances on Jeannie's gut channel.
This is not going on my gut channel.
I'm making a lot of appearances on Jeannie's freedom channel.
Actually, I'll share this on all my platforms, but.
All right,
muchas gracias, señor.
There's my bit of paper, everybody, just so that I wasn't lying. Be braver.